Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I am your hostess tonight. You were listening to Jade Garden, which is from the Eastern PCD by Stephen Halpern, who happens to be our guest tonight. This particular piece is, and this particular aspect of the CD, Eastern Peace, is noted for relaxation, meditation, healing, and the rhythms within that piece. Now, here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I do look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. In my own work, I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, and some of you I know have experienced that on previous shows, which if you've missed it, you can always go back and catch that in our archives. I've also authored two books titled Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Workbook, and I have two more that are just about ready to be released, which are based on relationships, so I'm looking forward to providing that and getting that out and available to you. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour that includes workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And you can always follow what's going on with the tour at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. There's also an option there for gifting the tour. So if you're unable to make events on the tour, but you'd still like to contribute and help me get around to the different events, you can go in there and you can choose to support the tour by clicking the gifting the tour option, and you can put in any amount that you choose there. Now, just a reminder, if you're enjoying the show tonight, and I know you're going to love this show because our guest is absolutely amazing, you want to make certain you're sharing it with your friends, your family, out there on your social media, significant others, and anyone else that you feel inspired to share it with. They can always listen to it in the archives by coming into the same link that you did. And there's also two other places they can find those archives. One of them is on my website at jessieannnicholsgeorge1, that's the number 1.com, and also on my Activating Compassion Facebook page. And that is located at facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes. And if you just click right there, and that will get you right into the archived shows that we have available. Now, as you know, we're going to, I like to start my shows off with a little message from Yehuda Berg, and it comes from the 72 Names of God. This message is posted on my website, so if you'd like to go back and check it during the week, you can certainly do that. Again, that's at jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. That's going to be under my name under the Main Street Universe tab, and that's where I have all the show information there. And it's kind of great to be able to go back and check it, but I do like to randomly open up and get a message for our week and see what's going to apply. Of course, it always ends up to applying to our guest and our topic during the week, so this will be great. Ah, perfect. Nice, short, sweet message so we can move into our guest quickly here tonight. And the name that we have tonight from the 72 Names of God is Stop Fatal Attraction. And the message that goes with this is, did you ever wonder why you attract so many of the wrong people into your life? Thought so. And I know a lot of people are kind of relating to this right now because I feel like they've been drawing a lot of the wrong stuff in, so to say. Now, the insight Yehuda provides is, negative, destructive people too often find their way into our lives. At first, they can be fun, friendly, and very cool to hang out with. We may believe they want to be close friends or that they genuinely want to help us, but they end up stealing our energy and depriving us of our spiritual light. The result? Our defenses are weakened, and we become vulnerable physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. 2,000 years ago, the high priest in the Holy Temple of Jerusalem used this powerful name to extinguish negative energy and to replenish the spiritual light that was lost through contact with a negative or wicked person. Now, the meditation that Yehuda provides on this is, here you become the high priest in the temple of your own being. Through the power of this name, your soul is imbued with divine energy, and evil people are banished from your presence. Now, when I look at this, I find this a very valuable message tonight because, and by the way, the name, the way it's pronounced for stopping fatal attractions into our life is Yud, Yud, Yud. Okay, it's just Y-U-D, Y-U-D, Y-U-D. So it's Yud, Yud, Yud. And this is really exciting because I feel like our guest work, Stephen Halpern's work, I feel like it really clears the negativity out of our life. A lot of times when we're facing these challenges, his music is focused on relaxation. It's focused on healing. and it's focused on bringing balance into our lives through his music. So this is very, very exciting. And as always, the message seems to apply from Yehuda. Now, for most of time, I would say music has been a part of our culture, celebration, gatherings, worship, and times of solitude. But even before formal instruments and music and its rhythms have been evident in, it's been evident in nature itself. And we see this, for example, in the babbling brook, in waterfalls, ocean waves, and breezes blowing in the trees. However, music can really shift our moods, our emotions, and our feelings. Do you think that's possible? I know our guest does, and I know I do, because I've been working with this music for a while. Music's also been known to soothe the savage beast, and people claim it helps plants grow and animals to be healthy. Beekeepers have been using music. They'll play certain types of music to keep their bees healthy and thriving. My guest tonight has been using music to create healing and relaxing patterns for several decades. And on tonight's show, I have Stephen Halpern, who will be sharing with us his concepts and spiritual insights on music, as well as listening to his musical pieces throughout the show. Now, I'd like to bring my guest on here tonight, and just before I do that, I'd like to give you a little bit of background on him. Stephen Halpern is a Grammy-nominated composer, recording artist, and producer whose beautiful music has helped millions to experience the blessings and benefits of deep relaxation and inner peace. His latest releases, Deep Alpha and Deep Theta, add brainwave entrainment technology to accelerate the inner peace effect. Listening to Stephen's music, within seconds, you can shift gears and make conscious contact with your spiritual essence. Chakra Suite, his debut release in 1975, helped establish a quiet revolution in sound healing. He'll share insights and suggestions to help you harness the healing powers of music for yourself. Stephen is a Renaissance man, author, media, spokesperson, seminar leader, pioneering sound healer, and entrepreneur who helped create the alternative market for lifestyle support music. Stephen was recognized by Keyboard Magazine as one of the 30 most influential keyboard artists of the past 50 years. And we're going to be exploring his work and music in sound healing, spirituality, and consciousness tonight. Now, don't forget, you can also learn more about Stephen from his websites at www.stephenhalpern.com. And I'm going to type that into our chat area for the people that are in there. That's www.stephenhalpern.com. And he also has a website at www.innerpeace.com. And that's INNERPEACE.com. So two websites there for you to check out. Absolutely wonderful information on there, as well as his music. And I just want to let you know, I kind of have a little personal connection here in the sense that many years ago when I started on my path, Stephen's work and his music was a big part of the meditation work that I was doing when I was working with crystals and gemstones, and it really made a huge impact in my life. So that was a real blessing when I found out he was going to be coming on my show here tonight. Because I started with his work when I was just starting out, and then I had a chance, I believe we met about 17, 18 years ago at a conference kind of trade show thing that was happening in Denver, Colorado, and now here we are after all of this time coming back together, and I'm having the chance to bring him on the show and share all of his work with you. So it's an amazing gift to me. It's a blessing for him to be here, and let me go ahead and open up his microphone and bring him on. Welcome, Stephen. I want to just say welcome here to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and I so appreciate you giving us your time because I know you've been busy with recording and everything tonight as well.
Absolutely. Well, I'm delighted to be here and just did get in from the studio. It's always hard to drive after working on a Deep Alpha or Deep Theta album, so it was a real effort to get back into normal waking consciousness and be safe on the road. But I was, and I'm here safely. If I could, might just interject a moment, the second website you gave was missing a word. It's innerpeacemusic.com.
So okay.
Right. Inner Peace is Course in Miracles and many other wonderful things, but I'm the music. But the easiest way is just StephenHalpern.com. They're still the same website this month.
Okay. Perfect. So we've got that in there. I've retyped that in.
Yeah.
So,
oh, great.
Again, innerpeacemusic.com, and the key website being StephenHalpern.com.
StephenHalpern.com.
Halpern. I'm
every,
sorry.
Every letter makes a difference these days. URL,
that's right. Every piece of it counts in there.
Right. Everything is, and interestingly, you know, when we deal with music, we're dealing with vibrations. Our names are vibrations. I studied numerology and color therapy, as well as music therapy and sound healing and many other aspects. And even when I was a kid, having my name misspelled always felt very dissonant. And it was only years later, as I got deeper into my metaphysical studies, that I found out how important names are. And that was long before the internet and identity theft and people wanting to link correctly. So it's interesting that when people start paying attention to what their body tells them, there's a lot of wisdom that comes right from the body, both in simple things like spelling your name and, for instance, in finding out which crystals, which music, which colors are right for you. And I know from your introduction, we'll be covering all those things this evening.
Yes, and it's interesting when you bring up the name thing also, because I had a guest on not that long ago that actually specialized in that. So it is a very important piece to thing. It is, I would say, very valuable, and I had that. A lot of people would shorten my name when I was growing up, too, and it does shift the way you relate with people. So I'm so excited about getting into the show tonight. And what I'd like to do, Stephen, is to have you start off by sharing a little bit about your story with us, like what brought you into this field and the work that you're doing now, because you've got an amazing career that you've had here.
I was born into it, Jesse, and literally, at an early age, I discovered that I was almost hypnotically attracted to certain kinds of music, but it was really in junior high school when I discovered improvisation and jazz that things really took off, and it was like learning another language that I already knew, and I got very good at that. My instrument in those days was trumpet. And that was just something that I just knew I had to do. But that music was jazz. It wasn't classical. I quickly got bored and tired of playing Little Black Dots written by dead white European composers. And I wanted to play music that I was hearing inside my head and that my fingers would play. And that was really my introduction to the world of real creativity and inspiration, and some of that was a function of the wonderful teachers I had at the University of Buffalo, but it was, in fact, it was in a high-energy jazz jam session that my trumpet, the instrument I was playing, literally began to play itself. And as I look back over my life, that was an experience of what I was reading about in ancient times when David soothed King Saul with his harp, or when the Greeks talked about and wrote about tuning in for inspiration from their muse, that was when I started really opening up into the concept of attuning to my own muse and angels. And in a very amazing spontaneous meditation, the end of 1969 in a magical redwood grove in California, I started hearing this new kind of music that was not being played on trumpet, I can tell you that much. And I had been praying to hear what healing music would sound like in the late 20th century. No one knew, and literally no one knows what the music of Pythagoras or the very ancient sound healers in Egypt, what that sound was really like. But mostly, whatever it was 3 or 5,000 years ago, I was more interested in what it would be like in the present day. And that was really what started me on this quest. And then I received a vision and the sound of the music. And that was what changed my life. I gave up playing trumpet. I didn't go back to graduate school in New York. I stayed out west and wound up connecting with some of the leading scientists and leading experts in the human potential field, and I was the bridge between the world of music and spirit and psychology and quantum physics, in a sense. So that's what got me into it, and it's just been a wonderful ride.
That's amazing, and that is quite a shift to go from one to the other, and I think that so many times people do get that inspiration and to be born in it. I think having that innate sense of feeling of and drive of this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and you're a living example of how those doors open up and you end up being able to connect with these other people like the scientist and things like that. And I'm guessing that's part of why you changed from being in that jazz rock trumpet player aspect, because I know you did those different things, to doing the area that you're doing now.
Absolutely. We all have guidance counselors in high school and maybe in college, and I never really knew what I wanted. And I heard them say, "Well, what do you want to do?" And nothing really came up for me until that moment when I discovered that there was an ancient tradition of sound healing, and that it was possible to use sound to heal oneself and to heal others. That was my service, my contribution to the world, and it felt very familiar. And I'll say this at the beginning of our program, and not save it for much, much later. When I was researching and learning about this ancient tradition, obviously one of the first authors I read was Edgar Cayce, and books that talked about Cayce's ancient lifetimes in ancient Egypt, for instance. And in one of the books and in one of the readings, Edgar Cayce gives what he calls the Musician's Prayer. In a little small book that it turned out even the Cayce Foundation didn't even know they had. But I read that, and it was on the bottom of one page, and then you had to turn the page over. And basically it was saying, "Lord, let me be an instrument of thy peace. Let me bring through music that serves the highest good of those who hear. Let it be a healing for those individuals." And I started being able to, even before I turned the page, I was continuing the sentence. I knew what the prayer was. And that kind of blew my mind, because this was early in my career, and I'm going, what just happened? How did I know that? And that helped deepen my studies on other levels as well, and really started having me become more comfortable with the concept that this is not the first lifetime that I've been working with the concept of healing music, and that's why it came so naturally to me.
And that is a great point. I think that's a good indicator of how people know that they're on their path, is that it feels familiar to them. It feels comfortable. It feels somewhat known. And
yes.
I think that we do tend to repeat these patterns lifetime after lifetime. I know I repeat patterns of healing lifetime after lifetime. You bring up the Cayce Institute. I've had a guest on twice now that has also worked with the Cayce Institute, still does lectures and seminars and things through them or for them as well, that was on a couple of weeks ago. And you also bring up some of these aspects of this kind of everyday, like working with the skills that you have learned or were born with, and that's actually a mission statement that we have here on Main Street Universe, is learning to work with what you have and what you're born with. And how do you harness that and take that out into the world and do something with it? So it's exciting that there's so much alignment here with your work and what you're doing. And I know that you've not only created aspects of the sound healing through your music, but you've also written books on sound healing and quite a few articles on that.
Oh, yes.
Where do people find out more about that? Is that also on your website?
Pretty much the central clearinghouse for that is on my website, stephenhalpern.com. There are the beginning of many of the categories of music, like sound healing or relaxation music, have a small white paper or links to other articles that I've written. I've written several articles about brainwave entrainment, and you'll find that on my site as well, just right under brainwave entrainment.
Perfect. And I think that that's a great area because you do have a lot of information on there. I remember when I was looking around the website and I was like, oh, there's just so much here, and it's so great because people need these explanations. They need to understand what it is. So that kind of leads me into our next thing here of what is sound healing and why is that so important to people?
Well, it's sound healing is an umbrella term that relates to the intentional use of sound and music for healing to bring an individual into a higher state of balance, of coherence, to literally raise the vibratory rate. And there are many different branches of sound healing. There are the more ancient technologies using bells and bowls, like Tibetan bowls or crystal bowls. There's a rhythmic approach to sound healing, which is other than what we're dealing with in this program primarily, but the use of rhythms and drums to evoke a trance state, an altered state of consciousness, for many cultures around the world, was one in which individuals would make conscious contact with the divine. And that turns out to be similar on another level where be still and know was a major bit of advice given by many major spiritual teachers. Well, that's where relaxation and getting into a deep meditation state, stilling the mind, quieting the mind. When I read Be Still and Know, that's what I hear in terms of why that's so powerful in terms of meditation and as we'll go through this evening, why certain brainwave frequencies literally entrain us vibrationally to the fundamental harmonic frequency of the planet itself. Now, you can get there are many ways to get there: prayer, meditation, yoga, tai chi, massage, certain kinds of lovemaking. But one of the easiest and simplest is to use music that was composed with the intention and the skill to get you into that place. One of the other things, of course, is that using music is still legal, it's non-addictive, and it's very cost-effective. Unlike taking a sleeping pill, for instance, if you want to fall asleep, you take the pill, it's a dollar or $3 or $5. You have to, the next night, it's another whole expense. if somebody buys an album, that album gets amortized over a lifetime, and you're talking about a penny an evening or something. Also, people like me really like to be in control of our own life energies and not give that over to a pill or a drug or some other doctor. We want to be able to do it ourselves in a holistic and a healthy way that maintains balance. Because one of the other big keys that I would share with you and our audience is that our bodies have their own tuning, and we as humans have an innate intelligence and innate wisdom that knows how to heal ourselves. And as researchers like Herbert Benson at Harvard pointed out, this self-generated healing happens most effectively in a state of deep relaxation. And there are so few things in our modern life that really facilitate true relaxation. People watch TV, Jesse, and they think they're relaxing. Not at all. They watch football, they think that's relaxing. That's called distraction. It's something other than being stressed by your boss or a coworker or a significant other or kids or whatever. But the reality is, it's a special deal to get relaxed and to quiet the mind. And most music is not composed to quiet the mind. So to use busy music, and we'll get into this as we get a little deeper also, is like drinking 3 cups of coffee before you go to sleep. Now, there's probably at least one person in our listening audience who can do that. But I got to tell you, if I look at a cup of coffee after 9 o'clock at night, I'm not able to fall asleep. So, you know, coffee is a drug. It's a caffeine delivery system. And if you're listening to audio caffeine or musical caffeine, it has a similar effect in the same way that if you're trying to meditate and trying to slow down and quiet the mind, if you're listening to most music, in fact, why don't I give you an example right now? I will
say,
and if you're not driving somewhere, this will be safe to do. You could close your eyes for a couple of seconds. I'm going to sing a very familiar pattern of frequencies, basically a series of notes, and I want you to feel what happens in your body. I want you to pay attention to your breath as well as I do what I will be doing, and then we'll resume. So here we go. Close your eyes for the next 10 seconds. There's nowhere else that you need to go. Just tune in and pay attention. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. And how many of you are holding your breath right now? I bet 85% at least of our listening audience is waiting for the final do. And that is because we are conditioned to project into the future where music is going. We anticipate. We unconsciously, intellectually analyze, which is all well and good for a lot of music. But when it comes to relaxation and meditation, you can't relax in the future. You could only relax in the present moment. And most music is making you predict and shift your attention into the future, so you're always out of balance. That's great, again, for a lot of kinds of music, but not when it comes to relaxation. And if you're always off balance and always waiting for, for instance, if you were holding your breath is not a good idea if you're trying to get relaxed. So, you know, right away, people are using the wrong substance or the wrong stimulus to help them relax, and that's why so many people say, well, I tried listening to relaxing music, and it didn't work. And that's because they didn't listen to the right music, or because there's no laws against it. Certain, shall we say, unscrupulous record labels, major ones and small ones, independent as well, will just slap stickers on and say, you know, the best relaxation music in the world, as if somebody could really say that, or, you know, music for relaxation. In fact, in the mid-90s, some of the major record labels, indeed, when they discovered this field of sound healing, when it kind of hit critical mass and became a relevant issue in their marketing, they would retitle an album like Orchestral Favorites as Orchestral Favorites for Music for Relaxation. And by saying music for relaxation, even if the music wasn't relaxing, they went from selling 25,000 to selling 250,000 of the same album just by changing, because people were looking for relaxation. The problem was at least half the music on that album was absolutely not appropriate for relaxation, but they owned the rights and they had it for free, so they used it. And they were actually quoted in Forbes magazine as saying, who would know the difference? Well, Jesse, people like me would know the difference, and that's why I've made fun of them ever since.
Well, there is a big difference because, like you say, I know I've used different music along the way or checked out different music along the way, and the difference between, like, your music and a couple of other artists' music made all the difference whether people could meditate. I used to teach meditation classes for a while many years ago, and people that normally would say, I could never meditate, would be able to meditate under certain music conditions. So it really does make a huge difference. I'd love to just play a little sample here You do a piece. It's from your EMF, the electromagnetic frequency bioenergetic balancing CD. This piece is titled "Toward the One," and just give people a little sample of some sound healing here. So let's bring this on. So that's just a sample of one of Stephen's pieces that he uses for sound healing. That, again, is from his EMF, Pollution Bioenergetic Balancing CD, and that is called Towards the One. And this is a piece that he designed with sound healing intention, if I'm correct, Stephen?
Pretty much. That was actually done in 1980 or 81 with some wonderful flute players. And we were keeping that in mind also for relaxation, but with a little more familiar structure, because one of the things I was finding in the early part of my career, and still to this day, is that the difficulty in playing music that anchors people in the present moment and does not give people the same pattern recognition cues and boundaries is that sometimes it's a little of a shock to learn how to listen to that. So this song was designed as a bridge with a very gentle heartbeat, like a deep breath rhythm built in gently in the background. So it's not as completely without a pulse as many of my recordings. And in fact, this particular song was first recorded in 80 or 81 with Emerald Webb, some wonderful musicians, and it's been a favorite over the last 30 years. So when I was adding subliminal affirmations to help myself deal with the increasing electromagnetic frequency pollution of cell phone towers in my neighborhood, I took some easy to listen to music and added another level of healing in terms of subliminal affirmations that support my body healing itself and keeping itself in balance. And that's what's on this album, which is only available at this point on my website. It's not available for at iTunes or anywhere else at this point.
And you bring up something that I really love about your music, which is it's really music. You know, you talked about some of these people that just slap labels onto things, and a lot of people are getting into these different areas of brainwave entrainment, which we'll be talking about tonight as well. And things just sound like a solid tone almost.
Well, sometimes they are. Jesse, sometimes I buy albums just to have them in my own library so that I could point to them on shows like this or on in my workshops as examples of somebody almost unscrupulous, literally somebody who doesn't know how to play a keyboard, puts their fingers on one or two notes that have some other little arpeggios built into them, and they hold that for 20 minutes. And I have albums of people who charge money for something that is, you know, obviously a monkey could do that, or a kid, or you have to, or you could put a little weight on the keyboard and the synthesizer does it all. That's not playing music. And that's where my earlier career as a musician with a very strong musician's ego, or even as yourself, you can hear. What's amazing is many people can't hear. When I have purchased some of these albums and felt kind of ripped off for paying for a whole album when it was basically what sounded like 1 minute looped over and over for 60 minutes, I brought it in to the recording studio where they have a much more sophisticated software than I do, and we could input it and could look up on the screen and we see the waveform. You could actually see where it was literally 1 minute just repeated for an hour. And I didn't even like that minute of music, but you know, you repeat anything for, you know, 59 times, it's going to become boring. And it was like, I won't mention the name right now, but I'm debating doing one of these tell-all books and articles and naming names with some of the people who I believe give the field of sound healing a bad name. That's the other part of this. We get so much criticism from so many other sources. It's like really a drag to have people inside the field kind of just jumping in as getting on the bandwagon and doing things that hurt all the wonderful people who are in the field now who are really working with integrity.
I so agree. And even today I was working with a client for a little while today, and they were very stressed out and everything. I said, you need to go check out Stephen Halpern's music because I said, you don't have to think about it. You know, you don't have to sit there and wonder, is it doing this or am I doing that? You can just listen to the music, and it's just great music to listen to, you know, no matter what intention you buy it for.
Right.
And it will work, and it will help, and it will make a difference. So I definitely noticed that. And like you, I've gone in and listened to some things, and I thought, really? They're calling this music today? You know, and it's like, doesn't seem like it to me. But I do want to move on, speaking about music. Your latest album, or CD, as we shall say, because when I first picked up your music, it was on an album.
Yes.
But your latest work, Deep Alpha, it this year received a Grammy nomination for Best New Age Album of the Year. And, you know, share with us a little bit about that. What makes that album so special?
Well, several years ago, as we all started noticing the stresses of daily living seemed to be increasing as we're, you know, leading up to 2012, for me, it was really starting in 2008. I started going back over some of the work that I have been doing over the last 35 years, and one of the things that seemed really powerful, almost too powerful years ago, was working to add what's called binaural beats or entrainment tones that basically guide the brain into a specific brainwave frequency. Many people never learned in school that our nervous system is electrical in nature and our brains pulsate. There are the electrical activity in our brain as part of the nervous system pulsates at different frequency rates. So if you have very slow brain waves between 1 and 3 cycles per second, that's what's called delta. And there's alpha, beta, theta, and delta are the main frequency ranges that everyone's familiar with. Well, beta is 13 to 39 cycles per second. That's where we are when we're talking in normal waking consciousness. When we slow down the brain waves between 8 and 12 cycles per second, We're having more of an experience of oneness, of relaxation. And 8 cycles per second is the frequency that really is most similar to the fundamental harmonic frequency of the Earth itself that the ancients knew about, and Western scientists kind of rediscovered during the 1957 International Geophysical Year, when the vibrational frequency of the Earth itself was measured by Dr. Schumann, and that's why we call this the Schumann resonance in his honor. Well, there's also theta range between 4 and 7 cycles per second. And I checked out various things on the internet, and I could sometimes tell if somebody really knows what they're talking about or just they have an opinion and they call it a fact. You know, you're entitled to your opinions. You're not entitled to make up your own facts. And I would read some things that just didn't make sense to me. And I didn't find a database of real usable information. Well, what is it like to meditate at 12 cycles per second, or 8 cycles per second, or 7 cycles per second, or 6 or 5 or 4? So I started a bit of a research project. And I would take a piece of music, my own, and that way I owned all the rights, didn't have to worry about, you know, infringing on anyone else's copyright. And I would add one time, like 7 cycles per second, another time at 8, another time at 6, and then 5 and 4. And I would sit with these and meditate with these and see if I could feel the difference. And I felt a little bit of difference, certainly between 7 and 4 or 8 and 4. Absolutely. But the biggest breakthrough, Jesse, came when I listened to the frequencies in my headphones and then played the music. And that's when it was like the doors of heaven opened up, and I found some frequencies that really were incredibly inspirational for me. That it, I started hearing music. Music was just flowing through my fingers easier than usual. And I started working with music in the theta range, and that was the album that I came out with in 2011. And in 2012, I finished the companion, Deep Alpha. And we don't know exactly why this was the album to really break through, but both of them have been appearing on Billboard, which is the industry Bible, a place that basically people like me are not allowed, and certainly we don't show up very often. You know, we're into entertainment. You talk about entrainment and healing. We don't want to be associated with healing. I've actually been told that by some of the industry insiders. That's another whole conversation. But what I believe is happening is that when people would listen to little samples, even on Amazon or iTunes, they would get zapped instantly. Their brains would shift gears into this positive, high coherence, balanced state, and whether they could name it or not, or just subconsciously or intuitively, they were aware that something felt good, something was right, something felt like home. And even if they couldn't put their finger on it, they said, yeah, I think I'm going to buy this, whether it's the song or the album. And enough people started having those kind of experiences that it started getting on the radar of the major music industry. And at least enough people in who are Grammy members of NARAS, the Recording Academy, this year listened to the samples and said, yeah, we're going to nominate this one. And that's how I assume that's how it happened that I got a Grammy nomination. And we're going for number 2 next year with Deep Theta 2.0 and Deep Alpha 2.0. So that's what I'm in the studio finishing up right now.
And I'm going to go ahead.
Let me just finish that phrase. But it was also, as so many of my projects, starting with what I needed. I found it was harder for me to meditate. It was harder for me to say, I'm going to take 20 minutes. And then it was like, forget 20 minutes, 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. And I couldn't focus in the way that I usually am able to. So I said, let me create a soundtrack that will help me really get into these meditative states. And when I share this with people in my workshops or on my website, they said, this really works. This is really powerful. Where can we get that? Well, when I get a request like that, the answer is, okay, it's time to make this into an album for the public. So that's how it really began. It began from my own need to heal myself, to balance myself, and to support my own spiritual needs that were being overwhelmed by the stresses of cell phones and the electromagnetic pollution in our environment and everything else that's going on in the world. So just putting on the headphones, even if I found myself saying to myself, if you, Stephen Halpern, can't figure out a way to take 5 minutes every day to tune in, to slow down and honor your spirit, there's a problem here. So ever since I had that realization, I said, okay, we got 24 hours a day. We have 60 minutes in an hour. We all can make 5 minutes for our soul. 20 minutes is better, but if you only have five as type A individuals, and if you're really pushing it, even one, but even 1 minute, if you do it right, can make a huge difference. It literally can help you reset your stress thermostat. It can help you reset your spiritual alignment in a way that is so life-affirming and so spiritually uplifting and rewarding. It's just an incredible blessing.
And it really is. And that just taking, like you say, even that minute or couple of minutes to totally stop, be silent, and to just take that break. We're coming up here. We're running, closer and closer to halfway through the program here, actually. But what I want to do is go ahead and play Deep Alpha in its full, because it's only about 3 minutes, so it's not real long. And allow people to experience that. And the Deep Alpha is at the 8 hertz that I've got selected. This is from your CD, Deep Alpha. And it's part 12 is the one that I've selected here to play to give people an experience of this. And what I find interesting with getting this Grammy nominee, because somewhere I either read or heard you say it, that many years ago you were thinking, now, if I could just get a Grammy for this music, if we could just get this kind of music into the Grammys, and here you are in the Grammys. So let's go ahead and listen to this. And again, this is from the Deep Alpha CD, part 12, and it's the 8 hertz frequency. Thank you. Okay. And for anybody that's just joining in with us tonight, we have Stephen Halpern on our show tonight. He was a Grammy nominee this year for Best New Age Album of the Year. We were just listening to a piece, Part 12, from his Deep Alpha CD, which is the one that is or was nominated this year for Best New Age Album. And he's sharing with us his thoughts, his philosophies, his views, and all of his perspectives with getting into music and what his music is about and how it's come about. So we really appreciate having him here tonight. I know this is a huge, huge blessing for me as well. And Stephen, you started to talk, and we've touched on it a little bit here and there, about brainwave entrainment. Can you elaborate a little more on that?
Absolutely. And I'll begin by saying this, folks. All music will affect your brainwaves. That's not the key here. The key is to get the effect or to have the way that the music affects your brainwaves be what you're looking for. Now, with music for entertainment, you have a lot of variation, a lot of different aspects, and that's not what we're focusing on today. I limited most of my life's work to evoking the healing response, the relaxation response, the spiritually attuning response. In a sense, it's music that gets people into the gap between thoughts, which is how Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer describe this place of infinite potential, of infinite possibility, the gap between thoughts. Well, that's how I compose, and that's what I'm listening for. I get into the space between the notes, and because I am in that space when I am composing and recording, that helps you as a listener get into that space as you're listening. Now, if you're roller skating, rollerblading down the road, or if you're driving, it's not going to be as deep as if you're home. You can close your eyes, maybe put on headphones, maybe sitting up in meditative position, maybe just kicking back in your chair, maybe lying down. But when you really focus full on with the music as a meditation, as a focus of one-pointedness, you will naturally be brought into resonance and attunement with that very rarefied space where you notice that your breathing is much slower. And this particular song, when I recorded the electric piano, which I did first, I remember I could barely get up from the piano bench. I was virtually out of my body, and I don't even remember playing half the notes, Jesse. They were just flowing through. And that song has always been one of my favorite songs. So I included that as a bonus on this album. Even though it was recorded earlier, it was in that same space that I got to naturally, but it's actually even more powerful now with the added entrainment. So to answer the question, we have the fact that our brain responds to music in the same way that our heart responds to rhythms. The rhythms that our heartbeat responds to are in beats per minute. The rhythms that our brain waves respond to are in beats per second. And maybe about 100 years ago or so, a little bit less, scientists were beginning to measure the electrical activity in the brain, and it was discovered scientifically, although people had noticed it before, that certain sounds and rhythmic ticks would cause the brain to synchronize in the same way that a drum beat or snapping of fingers would cause the heart to synchronize with that rhythm, in the same way that we were, for thousands of years, we would be staring at flickering firelight. That fire would tend to entrain our brain into an altered state of consciousness. Well, if we add that, or if that is included in the matrix of the music, the way most companies do it, it'll sound like this. And if you've listened to or gone to any of those websites or listened to some of the albums on the market, you will hear something that literally sounds like a flat tire or a jackhammer. It's bum, 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 bum. And sometimes it's not even music. It's just that. And I go, who would want to pay $15 to hear that. Well, some people do, and some people sell it for less, but that's the fact that your brain, well, let me put it this way, there are many ways to entrain your brain. There's a gentle way of caressing it, as we do with music, or basically slapping it aside the head, like with a 2x4. You get the brain's attention that way, and you can get into a specific frequency. The key is, for me, is to do it in an artistic and in a loving way, and by adding a particular frequency encoded, almost camouflaged in the music, we can give you the relaxation response with the music and take you deep. In fact, we can have you dial in. So if people do biofeedback brainwave measurement to the Deep Alpha soundtrack, your brain will be locked in at 8 cycles per second, and it's at that frequency that we literally make conscious contact with the dominant electromagnetic fields of the Earth. That's why people talk about making conscious contact with one's higher power. A lot of these words are all similar expressions using different words but of the same essential phenomenon, and that is when we get into this state, we feel great. We feel at home. We feel peaceful. That's why the name of my company was chosen by people as Inner Peace Music, because that's the place that the music takes us to. So that's what's happening with these albums. If I don't say it on an album, basically it's just the music. But on several of my albums, like the ones we're speaking about tonight, we have the words brainwave synchronization or brainwave entrainment in the subtitles, so people will know they're getting more than just the music. They're getting a what I might call an extra strength or industrial strength resource to help them go into that relaxation state. And if you're from New York like I am, you don't want to wait 20 minutes to get relaxed. I know when people first said, well, if you listen to this album for an hour, you'll get relaxed. They said, that's why you have to listen to classical music. After an hour, you'll be relaxed. I said, after an hour, I might be dead. What do you got that'll get me there in a minute? And they said, oh, no.
In a New York minute, no less.
Right, right. This is back in the early 70s as I was doing my early research. Oh, it's impossible. No music can do that. You have to match moods and do the isotonic principle and all these things that are dogma to the world of music therapy. And I said, well, I have something new. I have something better, and I have the research that proves that we can shift your state within a matter of seconds. And it was very interesting. About half that population loved it, because here was something that was designed and proven to be more effective than traditional old-time classical music. And other people said, how dare he? He's not dead. He's not a white European. And I wasn't willing to die for my cause. I just said, well, here are the facts. You know, here's the research, and here's the music. And that's one of the reasons why I'm still in business 38 years after my first album came out, because people get the effect, and it really works.
And there's nothing that speaks louder than getting that effect. And I have kind of an interesting question that came up in my chat room, by the way. It comes from one of the other hosts here on Main Street Universe, Kevin Baird. And he was wondering if your music actually would help, for example, somebody who might be deaf because of the vibrations that might be realized through their bodies. Have you ever tapped into that at all?
I have. I've had communications from a number of people, and they have said, yes, it does help. They can feel it. And interestingly, one of the individuals was listening to the chakra suite, and he could feel the frequencies in the different chakras. I thought that was really interesting. That was a very sensitive individual. But everybody can develop that just by paying attention, rather than just having music on in the background. If you start really paying attention, you can easily tune in and be sensitive to these kind of experiences. So yes, I remember in 1978, I was attending as a personal guest of Ivan Dwyer, who was the originator of Laserium. And this was a big opening, and it was essentially a disco. I didn't fully know that, so I went there, and when the show started, there was just in industrial strength, super loud volume, and my ears were bursting, so I started running out, and then I was overtaken and pushed out of the way by two other individuals. We all met outside the door, and I'm looking at them, and I said, you know, how come you guys are running out? And they couldn't speak, and then one of them starts signing, and then someone starts translating, said, they're deaf, and they couldn't stand the loud music either. Even though they couldn't hear it, they could feel it, and it was shredding them. And I could hear it and feel it, and I was out the door. So, it is something, whether you listen with regular speakers or even headphones, music knows how to go to the right places, and it can be a wonderful addition in situations with hearing challenges, shall we say.
And I think that's very exciting. And what I want to do is do a short sample here from your Deep Theta CD, because this CD has been on those Billboard charts for over 26 weeks, I believe it is.
Yes, which is just phenomenal and a blessing. Every week we see that happen. That means people are tuning in. It doesn't stay on the chart. I think in the history of Billboard, there's never been a true meditation and healing album that's been on the charts that long. In fact, it's only the Billboard New Age chart that would even have an album that's for meditation. That's not what Billboard is about. And, you know, it's not Miley Cyrus or Taylor Swift or R. Kelly or something. They're doing great things, or Rihanna or Beyonce. There's a whole lot of great music out there, and I don't ever want to be misquoted as saying, don't listen to other kinds of music. I listen to all kinds of music. But when you're trying to get relaxed or support the body's innate healing energies, if you use music that's distracting and takes you into another, you know, area, well, then you're not making the most effective choice in terms of what your body really wants and needs to get. It's literally, Jesse, how we are pre-programmed. We are hardwired for transcendence of balance if we give ourselves the chance.
And I think the music like the Deep Theta and the Deep Alpha is so important today, because the busier people get, the more they're trying to cram more into their day, work more hours, they need something like this that they can come in, unwind in a couple of minutes. So let's go ahead and do this sample here. Again, this is from the Deep Theta CD, Part 7, and it is a 4 hertz. Rhythm on that. And that is from the Deep Theta Part 7, 4 hertz level on that. You also brought up, Stephen, you were talking about the chakra suite, which you now have available at 432 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that come in to play?
Yes, I was hoping we would talk about that and clarify that. Although both of these concepts of brain waves around 4 to 8 to 12 cycles per second, which is cycles per second is in musical terms called hertz, H-E-R-T-Z, named after Gustav Hertz or something, who was a big early pioneer in the field of sound and music. When we deal with the concept of 432, that's not dealing with brain waves at all. That relates, Jesse, to the fact that most music, most all music that we hear is tuned, like in an orchestra or band or any guitar player or piano player, the A note, middle A, let's say, is tuned to 440 cycles per second nowadays. In fact, in some orchestras, it's tuned to 441 or 442, because the higher, the greater tension you have on a string, the louder it will project its sound. So that's why in the days before microphones, the original, like in Mozart's day, we're told that the orchestras were tuning to 432 cycles per second, 232 hertz. That's a little bit lower than where we're used to now. Now, if you're a piano player or a guitar player or a synthesizer player, that may not make a huge difference to you. If you're a singer, trying to hit the highest notes in your range at 440 is harder than at 432. So that's why there's been a movement both among opera singers to lower the pitch to where it was, but also with some other scientists who are doing some research and say, and showing that nature supports the 432 hertz frequency might be a more natural frequency for us to play music at. And the theory is that if we play music and listen to music tuned to 432 rather than 440, it may be even more healing. People can find out more at the website omega432.com. There's some wonderful research and articles there. The reality is that there's very little music created at 432 cycles per second. It's really difficult to tune a piano to 432 because of the stress and tension on the soundboard. It's easy with the synthesizer. You just kind of hit a button and turn the fader down a little bit. So on my 432 series, for me to do research and say, well, you know, if I listen, which I did, I went to these websites, I listened to the music, I said, well, it's hard to tell because I don't know what the music sounds like in its natural state. With my own music, I know what it sounds like. I know how well it works. And my question was, is it possible that it may work even better? The answer is, as of this point, I don't know. We're still doing the research. But in order to do the research, I went ahead and mastered some of my albums. So they are tuned to A at 432 cycles per second. And I have them on my website so people can listen to that and see for themselves and feel for themselves whether they can notice a difference. Like wine tasting, however, when you taste one little bit of wine, I know there are techniques to clean the palate and get ready to taste the next bit of wine, but you know, you always swallow a little bit. So every next sip of wine, you're a little more, I don't want to say stoned, but your senses are slightly different than they were before, in the same way that whichever piece of music you listen to first, the next one will sound different than if you just came to it. So doing research in this field is actually very difficult, and that's why it's still in its infancy. But the concept makes a lot of sense to me, and I've just recently posted these albums, so I'm listening to them myself, and I'm waiting to see what I can see and what I can feel. So it's not a judgment. I'm not putting any programming out there. There's a theory that says this is more powerful. And the way we're going to find out if people, like people in your audience, check it out and notice if they have different responses. Notice if one feels better than the other. In the same way, like we were speaking about earlier, spelling one's name correctly versus incorrectly sets up a little dissonance in one's vibratory field. Let's see if this is different. And between the Omega 432 site and my site, these are some of the leading sites now that have music that you can listen to and compare for yourself. So that's what the 432 means here. But it's the same album, the same notes, as on my regular chakra suite that's been out in the world.
And I listened to them, and it sounded to me like there was a difference when I listened to them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to give people a chance to sample a little of this right now here, too. I've got the piece Harmonic Convergence, which comes from your chakra suite 432 frequency on there. And I'm going to play a little piece of this so people can kind of get a taste and a flavor for themselves. And I love that you have all of the samples where people can listen to the samples on your website. And I'll tell you, you can spend hours and hours and hours listening to those samples. And I think I did when I was pulling music and deciding what I wanted to get. And I was so excited to get it because I actually lost all of my music a few years ago when I moved into where I am now and found out everything was infected with a deadly mold and went in the trash. So I was to be replenishing your music, which I've been without for a while. And it was really, really wonderful. But I want to mention also that the Chakra Suite is kind of a remake, like a, if I'm understanding right, a 35th anniversary kind of remake of the Spectrum Suite, which was one of your originals put out, and that this has been the number one best-selling chakra healing album of all time.
It is, and it's not a remake. I read probably the same review that you read that somebody used that word. It's a remastering.
Okay.
We use the latest sound design software in the recording studio to make the sound of the instruments, the sound of the recording, even more luminous, even warmer, even clearer. So it's the highest quality possible, and that's what's really done. The other big difference, though, is when I changed the name of the album originally was Chakra Suite, because the whole first half of the album, back when it was an LP album, the side A was the seven songs tuned to the frequencies of the seven chakras, so that if you do them in sequence, it naturally aligns and attunes the chakras, which increases your psychic sensitivity, which increases your relaxation response, which balances your brainwaves. Lots of great things happen. But stores said chocolate? What's a chakra? You know, back in 1975, it was a hard sell. By 1998, yoga was very, very popular. Millions of people knew what chakras were. And suddenly stores would say, okay, now we want music for chakras, but we're not going to buy Spectrum Suite because it doesn't deal with chakras. I said, yes, it does. Didn't you look at it? It says, no, all we see is the title. And it doesn't say chakra. So basically the marketplace taught me a very valuable lesson to change the title back to the original title so that people would know what it was. And sales went up 500% the next month. And they've been up there longer because it's now clear what the album is again, that the population and the audience has caught up with the concept. The album was ahead of its time in 1975, but now it also sounds better than it did on LP. It sounds better than even the earlier CDs. It is the clearest and warmest and most pristine sound I know of. The instrument itself, the Rhodes electric piano, invented by Harold Rhodes, was designed as a healing instrument. It's like having a series of tuning forks, pure sine wave, pure frequencies that are so easily accepted into the body. It's why it's what I consider to be the number one healing instrument. And it's a keyboard, which means we could play it with our fingers rather than with a stick or like a crystal bowl that only basically makes one sound. This gives me all the harmonic possibilities as well.
And this is actually, the instrument you're referring to is actually what's helping you produce these new sounds and part of what's making your music so special.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's listen to a little sample here again. This is from the Chakra Suite 432 hertz, and it's the Harmonic Convergence. Thank you. And again, that was the Chakra Suite 432 Hertz. That's the Harmonic Convergence is the name of the song on that. And that is done with the Rhodesmark 7, I believe it is, electric piano.
The Rhodes Mark 7, yes.
Yeah. So this is definitely, that particular instrument is what helps Stephen bring his music together, helps bring him, allow him to bring in these different frequencies on the music to produce these absolutely beautiful, incredible pieces that he's doing. And I want to start to move into a little bit here as well, Stephen. Sometimes people might listen to your music and they might think, well, you know, how does this differ from, say, traditional classical music? And why can't we use, say, classical or most classical music for effective relaxation?
Well, again, as I mentioned earlier, that's a great question. And the answer is intention. Number one, most classical music was not composed with the intention of creating a relaxation response. You know, remember, people like Mozart, for instance, were composing in the caffeine capital of Europe at the time. Relaxation and caffeine are mutually exclusive realities. Also, the structure of classical music. In fact, if you study classical music, one of the first things you learn is the rules of composition are that you need to create tension and then resolve it. And for people like me, it was like, no, I got enough tension already, thank you very much. I don't want more stress. I don't want to get the music to stress me more. I want to go right to relaxation. So it's like you're not using, and you're using a soundtrack that's 200 years old. We live in a very different world now with all the electronic and mechanical sounds and the music around us all the time. It makes sense that we need a new kind of music for this new age, as opposed to repurposing music, great music, that was done 200 years ago, but that was done for more emotional, psychological, and entertainment aspects rather than for relaxation and healing. The instruments, also, when I discovered the world of cymatics and the research by Dr. Hans Jenny, he showed that the sound of violins and oboes and some of the main instruments that we know and love in the band and orchestra, in terms of their effect on the body or in terms of their effect on gases or liquids, create stress. So if the instruments themselves create stress, then using them to play relaxing music is an exercise in frustration and futility on a certain level. For me, as a very good trumpet player, to try to play relaxation music on the trumpet, well, that just didn't work, and that's one of the reasons why I basically put it down and shifted to an instrument that the tone itself was relaxing and healing. And I got to tell you, for me, I'm the first person in my audience. Part of the reason I bought my first electric piano was so I could just zone myself out. I could heal myself in my little studio apartment, and I was a happy camper for a while until it was time to take the music out into the world. But my research, my experience was at the sound itself. In fact, my first faculty advisor said, I can't give you a grade for this demonstration and this oral test that you just did. The music is so beautiful, I can't stay in my left brain and my analytical mind in order to evaluate it. I said, but that's exactly the point. The point is to get you into that non-thinking state, that modality that people for so many thousands of years, again, to be still and know. And that's why now there's some classical music that will get people into a state, and some will get some people into a state that won't work for others. But the difficulty is also, if you say music by Mozart wrote, hundreds of pieces. Which music? And then if you say, okay, Mozart's sonata in A major, then I need to ask you, who performed it? Because I have five different versions of that song or Pachelbel's Canon in D major, that, and some of them should be named Pachelbel's highly caffeinated Canon in D major. There are so many different interpretations. Which one is the right one? At least with Stephen Halpern albums, there's only one right version, and that's the one that I did. So at least that makes that choice simple. And that's why you can't just use any old classical music. You have to choose carefully. You have to know what you're going for. And also, I mean, if you're interested in using classical music, check out the work of Dr. John Diamond on how he uses muscle testing to find out which is the most healthful interpretations and recordings of a particular classical composition. His great book was Your Body Doesn't Lie, Dr. John Diamond. A lot of people don't know about him now, but certainly one of the great pioneers in the field.
And I also want to touch on here, since we're in that area of relaxation, what makes relaxation so fundamental to most forms of healing?
Well, again, it's where our bodies are naturally set up. And there are scientists who are actually doing research on this, like what are some of the synaptic connections that are hardwired into the brain, into the body. But researchers like Itzhak Bentov, who was one of my personal mentors, wrote the book Stalk in the Wild Pendulum, showed that when you get into a relaxed state, all systems in the body function more effectively. The body makes most effective use of energy, which is why relaxation will actually energize you. Taking a 5-minute relaxation break allows stresses which are blocking energy, blocking blood flow, blocking electrical energy from circulating, or blocking chi from circulating in the body. When you get relaxed, the body naturally knows what to do. So on one level, what my music does, it gets the body into a relaxation state, and then the body naturally takes over. And I don't care whether people say the music does the healing or the body does the healing. Healing happens, and that's the important thing. And that's just certainly when I was paying attention to my own body, listening to a lot of different kinds of classical music before I started composing my own, I was noticing I was getting more stressed very often. I could feel a tightness in my chest. I could feel my breathing speeding up. And I found that a lot of people would, if I pointed it out to them, would notice that they had a tightness in their chest when they're listening to certain pieces of music. But they never focused on that because they just thought it was an anomaly, or that they were weird, since no one else ever told them that they could feel stress and tension in their chest. They didn't want to be considered weird by raising their hand in class or asking a question, excuse me, why does this music hurt my chest? I was the guy that raised my hand and say, excuse me, this is not feeling good. It's hard for me to breathe. That was how I started figuring out that a lot of this music that I was told was good for relaxation was actually not good for relaxation. Because if you're feeling tension and tightness of breath and shortness of breath, that's the opposite of relaxation. So what's typically happening is someone is just trying to sell you something, or they don't know what they're talking about, and your body is telling you what's true for you, but so many people were dissing or not paying attention to their body. When you mentioned that we might have met in Denver 17 years ago. So that was about the time that I was working with John Bradshaw in there. And John really brought the concept of codependence into the national vocabulary. And a lot of people would not say that the music they were listening to was making them feel stressed because they didn't want to offend the musician or their friend who said, oh, this is a great piece of music, you'll find this relaxing. So they just internalized their stress and didn't say, well, not for me it isn't. Again, for whatever reasons, coming from New York or just not lying to my body or not being able to, I was the one who would say things like, excuse me, this is not working for me. Could you change the music? And then you find out, Jesse, who your friends are. Because if they say, no, this is a great piece of music, I want to. Well, you could listen to it any time. If I'm visiting your house and you're playing music that is making my body hurt, you're not really my friend. So you know what? I'm out of here. I've had that confrontation a couple of times also.
Wow.
When you start paying attention to nurture yourself, to support your own healing, and the more you tune in, the more you sensitize to your body's intelligence, the better terms you are on with your body, and it just helps your life proceed more harmoniously and more smoothly. And that's really the secret. I just, before I became somewhat, you know, famous and had a level of notoriety for what I do, people would say things like, oh, he's a little eccentric. He's the one that said that music hurts his chest. things like that. Or he's the one that said he can't breathe normally when he's listened to this piece by Bach. Well, I couldn't. And, you know, I let him know.
And it's so true, and I'm always telling clients that I'm working with this too, is pay attention to what your body's doing, because that's going to give you answers so easily. If you're around somebody and your body's tensing up and you can't relax, if you're listening to music, whatever the case is, if your body's getting very heavy feeling,
yes,
it's not the right thing for you. But on the other hand, if your body feels very light, if your heart chakra is really opening up, if you're getting a sense of joy, then those are all indications that this is something that's really helping you, and it is definitely raising your vibration. And I find that your music really does that. You have a lot of things where you've also done CDs to focus on different areas for people, be it prosperity, weight loss, stopping smoking, all these different areas. But I also, while we're in this area of relaxation, you created a piece called Your Best Music, or a CD called Your Best Music for Sleep. And I've got a segment from that I'm going to play a little piece of. This is part 9 from that CD. So it's not just about relaxing sometimes, but this can also help people get a restful sleep, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Again, as you mentioned before, if you listen to music that's what I call the equivalent of musical caffeine, it'll literally keep you up at night. So it's really important that you make intelligent, educated choices for what you're listening to.
And also, this is another CD on your website is listed as a featured CD. So here we go. It's a little piece of it. It's from Your Best Music for Sleep, Part 9. That, again, was from Stephen Halpern's CD, Your Best Music for Sleep, Part 9 on that CD. And very, very soothing music. I mean, I could easily be listening to your music. And this is one of the things that I found, particularly over the last few days where I've had the pleasure of going through so much of your music and enjoying it, is there's a lot of music I can't put on and then do other things that my mind has to focus on. But with your music, I can sit there, I can have it going in the background, and actually my thinking gets clearer, and actually it's easier for me to focus on some things. And where I deal with a lot of people coming on through clients, they've got a lot of stress, a lot of issues that they're dealing with. I've noticed a huge difference in how calm I am by having your music going in the background between talking with people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a big, big difference here. I know that, you know, it seems like we have a lot of time left, but I did have another aspect of your music that I wanted to bring in that's a little outside of some of the brainwave areas.
Sure.
And I know we kind of discussed this a little bit in emails back and forth. And it maybe taps more into some of that other jazz area, and that is from your Paradigm Shift CD.
Yes.
Do you want to go into that a little bit?
I shall. And the name Paradigm Shift, many people don't really understand what that means, but it's basically it's a new ball game with some of what's going on. So whether it's after 2012 or the new paradigm shift in finances in government or some of those things with music, I was in the studio. Two things were happening. Number one, a number of new compositions channeled through the recording session that I was doing on my anniversary, January 4th of 2009. So I was first in the studio in 1975, so that was about 34 years. And after doing the whole session with pretty mellow, relaxing music, I said, well, you know, we have a couple of minutes left. Let me put on one of my favorite rhythm tracks that I pre-produced for another album, and let me see what happens, see if I get inspired with anything. And we had time to start out, and I started playing some music, and then all of a sudden, I started hearing a whole other thing, so I stopped, told my engineer to start the song again, and then this melody just played through me with a lot of space and just having the melody ride on the rhythm. And because this recording happened at the end of the session, chronologically and historically, it happened the same day as some of these very, very deep, relaxing, healing pieces of music. And I wasn't sure if I should put it on the same album or just have a whole fast album. And I didn't have enough music done to make it a fast album, so I included it on Paradigm Shift. Some people were very surprised by it. Some people love it. But as a song on its own, it's an energy that picks up on the spiritual energy that was coming through, but just takes it into a rhythmic realm that is really great for dancing or moving to or dancing with someone else closely or in rapport. It helps you breathe together. It's a whole lot of good things, and that's why it's on the album.
Awesome. And I did. I really enjoyed these couple of pieces that were a little more upbeat from your work. And it's really enjoyable, and I want to share one of those pieces with our listeners. And this one is called First Kiss. So now that we've kind of mellowed everybody out, we're going to bring him up a little bit here before the end of the show and share with you. This, again, is from his Paradigm Shift CD, and it's titled First Kiss. And that piece there, that was a sample from Stevens' Paradigm Shift CD titled First Kiss, and a little bit different than some of the entrainment music that he does, just to show you some of the variety that he has in his music and what he has. I love that piece because I could sit there and do a variety of things. That's the kind of music that I want to have when I'm, you know, maybe have a couple of people over for dinner or I'm
exactly.
doing things around the house, and it's got a little bit of a vibe there, but at the same time, it's still got this sort of chilling out, calming sense to it.
Exactly, and there will be an entire album with music like that coming out in the foreseeable future because it needs to be in a context where the whole thing is more chill out. So that will definitely be happening, and that was the beginning. It's just as, you know, there's only so many things I can do at one time, and I usually do several things at one time, but this one will take a little bit longer for the entire rest of that album to come out. But it was a gas to play. I always do something with this in my concerts ever since I recorded it, and it's always something that just gets people right into that zone. Again, we are in training your heartbeat and training your brainwaves. We're getting you on all levels, and it's just a real, real beautiful groove. There's something very special about it. I didn't play it, but you know, I found and produced it, and I worked with some great musicians to get it together, and then I played the piano on top of it, and just that melody just sang through me. I had never played that melody before in all my years of recording, so when surprises like that happen, it's always an amazing treat for me, and that's how I know something special is happening, because something new was coming through.
And it is. It's special, and we'll definitely be looking forward to more of that from you as you start to bring it out. You've put out, I'm not sure how many CDs exactly, but I'm thinking in the neighborhood of 35, 40 different CDs?
Over the years, it's actually now closer to 70, because that's about two a year. But some of them were smaller or special programs where I didn't have to compose new music, like with my Subliminal Affirmation series. I would use existing music and then target them for particular outcomes, like you were talking about, for sleep or relaxation or weight loss or self-esteem. But there's probably about 35 major titles that are albums that stand up, like the album I did with Paul Horn in 1984 called Connections, that stands up to this day with anything that is out in the marketplace in terms of New Age and jazz. We do five duets and five songs with a group. So I've always had a variety of interests, but most of the stores only wanted to carry the relaxing music, and that's why with the website and the samples at Amazon and iTunes and my own website, you can hear more of what's available, and then you could listen before you buy and try, and that's so important. And it's one of the great benefits of the digital revolution is that you really get a sense of what's going on before you buy, and then you know what you would get into. And the fact that this is so immediate, the effect is so immediate, you're onto a good thing at that point.
And people can definitely buy your music either as a CD or as an MP3, as the whole album, or as the individual song. So they can also mix and match things if they want to do that. And you have several people that you've collaborated with along the way, some great music there. In addition to what we've been listening to on the show tonight, you've also got Crystal Singing Bowl CDs that are out there as well that have different healing aspects to them and relaxation aspects to them, which, I mean, the spectrum, the variety of your music, it's made a huge impact on my life along the way, and definitely I know is impacting a lot of other people. I know when I mentioned having you on the show, and people were like, oh, I just love his music. It's been a part of my life for decades.
And I love hearing that. Thank you. Yes.
Absolutely, and like I said, it's just made such a huge impact on me because it's one of the first things I picked up when I actively started on my path. And so it was a big catalyst for that. And hearing that from other people and realizing there's so many people that are being affected, and these are people out there that are now working with people and having a big impact on other people's lives. So your music is reaching far and wide, and the fact that you've been able to go many decades with your music, and it's continuing to sell, and it's continuing to get better, and it's continuing to offer more, is a real testament to you and the work that you're doing and what you're bringing forth and what you're providing people. So, again, deeply blessed to have you here. Is there anything that you want to get in about your work? I know, again, we want to make sure we mention you've got two websites, stephenhalpern.com and also innerpeacemusic.com. And those should both be at the stephenhalpern.com, I know, is at the bottom of the show description for people as well.
And that's all they need to know. I also have a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/StephenHalpernMusic, where you can see the Scaleless Interruptus demo that we worked on earlier today, and some of my short little introductions to brainwave entrainment, to subliminal affirmations with my album that really helps you drive safer, stay more alert while driving. We're getting ready for the summer driving season and helps you not space out sometimes, but also, you know, writing at my website talking about the basic principles of sound healing. And really, with my monthly newsletters, focusing on both ideas and suggestions for how to create a more supportive and healing environment for yourself at home and at work. There's so many shows now on PBS stations dealing with brain fitness and how to tune your brain. Well, folks, one of the best ways to tune your brain is with music that's designed to tune your brain, and that's what we've been focusing on today. This is really becoming the decade of the brain and the mind, and I think as we get into this, music like the ones we featured tonight, Deep Alpha and Deep Theta, are going to be understood and used by more and more people because they really do work. And it's just so simple. It's using our own nervous systems to work with us rather than against us, and to work to really support the natural healing energies of the body. And again, the basic concept is to create even a little time and space in your life to honor and to revere the music that makes you whole, whatever kind of music it is. Turn off the TV, turn off the computer sometimes, and just close your eyes and go into the music. When we shut down the visual distraction, the visual modality, we can get deeper into the sonic realities, and that's where we can get beyond the sound into the silence, and that's where we can have our deeper spiritual experiences. And that's really, even if we don't have what we recognize as a deep spiritual experience, it is nurturing on a cellular level, on a vibrational level. And if we were to see aura photographs of what happens when we get into this silence, when we get balanced, when we balance the hemispheres of the brain, as happens with Deep Alpha and Deep Theta and Chakra Suite automatically. That was something I learned in research early on that has really empowered me to share the music, because I know scientifically it's been proven by scientists and not just by myself that it is something that should be part of everyone's lifestyle, even a little bit every day, just like we should be stretching a little bit every day, we should be walking and maybe exercising a little bit every day. Listening to healing music should be part of our daily program, even if only 5 minutes. Try it 5 minutes, folks. Feel the difference, and then you'll probably want to do a little more, and that's a good thing.
And even, you know, going to sleep with this playing at night, it's a great way to relax the body and let go and get into those great areas. Or even with the kids around, it's great music to play. If people have kids out there, it'll get them into a positive space as well. So I just want to mention here again, we've been talking with Stephen Halpern tonight. He has been sharing with us his work in brainwave entrainment, sound healing, spirituality, and consciousness through music. and his music is available through his website at www.stephenhalpern.com. Stephen, I want to thank you so much for your time, for taking the time to be here with me and sharing your music, sharing your life, and sharing what you're all about.
Well, thank you. It's been a delight. I find it hard to believe that it's almost 2 hours that we've been on the phone. It just moved really quickly. So thank you for creating the context. I salute you for having this show and sharing this information with the world and being a beacon of light. Is a great service and a delight connecting with you this evening.
Well, I definitely appreciate that, and it does. It just goes by faster than I can ever imagine on this. So I definitely, again, I thank you very much for being here. And next week on our show on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I will have Dr. Neil Cobran on my show. He's going to be sharing his work in emotional well-being, embracing the gift of life. We're going to look at how his work blends psychology with mindfulness. And please let your friends know not only about our upcoming shows, but tonight's show. It's been an amazing show. And definitely share this work, this life, this music that we've been experiencing with Stephen Halpern tonight. And let them know. Get it out there. Get the word out there so they can come back and listen to it in the archives. Again, not only is it available through the same link, but they can go onto my website, JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1, that's the number one, .com, go into the Main Street Universe tab, find my name, and all of my archive shows are there. So it's a great place to go and pick that up. Also, my next set of books is coming out, which I mentioned earlier. That should be coming out in the next couple of weeks here. It's based on relationships. A look at how to find and develop relationship with somebody that will last a lifetime with you. And it takes a look at how we all take on masculine, feminine energy roles, no matter what sex we're born into. And I'm also continuing to work on a variety of different things. You can, on my website, also find tips and things like that, the little video tips of things to help you out in your life. That's all listed at the bottom of the show. And I do have an April special running. So for the month of April, I have a discounted rate on my books that have been out already, which is Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the workbook. Just go right onto the website there, and it will have the codes that you can take advantage of and the links to take you right into where you can purchase those. The paperback version is available right now for $3.99. It's regularly a $12.99 purchase. And the ebook version is available for only $1.99, and that's regularly a $9.99 purchase. And with the ebook version, you can actually download it in multiple formats. So you can get it in PDF, you can get it in Kindle, you can get it in other reader forms, all for that one low price. And I'm just really wanting to help people take advantage of this right now. So you can keep up on everything right there on my website, JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1.com. Don't forget that we've got several shows right here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights we have Darren Bucaire, who's a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Kevin Baird walking on the sidewalk with his Horizon Oracle Journeys deck, and that's a deck that he himself created, so tune in for that. It's a really interesting, different take on things. Tuesdays during the day is Inner Wisdom with Mary Phelan. Mary has a lot going on, absolutely wonderful spirit that she draws on for her show. And Wednesday nights is our flagship show, which has Daniel and Janice on, and they're covering a variety of different topics and different things along the way. So we've just had, again, an amazing, incredible evening listening to Stephen Halpern, listening to what his life has been like, how he got into music, what it's all about for him. If you missed any part of the show, please go back and listen to it in the archives, because we covered so many different things with his work tonight. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols George. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into Activating Compassion. And don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show, share it with others. It's available at the same link in our archives. And I'm going to leave you with a piece by Stephen Halpern tonight. It's a little piece from a section we didn't quite cover tonight, and it is from his CD, Transitions. The title of this piece is called Dreamweaver. On all of his CDs, you can go in and find out a little more about what's behind the music through his website, at www.stephenhalpern.com. Thank you so much, and I'll be seeing you next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.